Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the fans, rather jubilant, begin to make their way to the exits following a thrilling 3-2 overtime victory for the Kitchener Rangers. The Rangers led 1-0 and 2-1, but those leads would last for a combined 3 minutes and 6 seconds. And finally, 12:02 into overtime, this game comes to a dramatic end. What a night here at the Memorial Auditorium, inside an arena that has, over its 70-plus years and 60-plus of Kitchener Rangers hockey, seen its share of dramatic nights. Let's look at your scoring summary from this game. In the first period, there was none. It was a scoreless first. Rangers outshot the Otters by a count of 12-10. In the second, the Rangers would get on the board thanks to Tanner Lamb, his first of the playoffs, from Hunter Brustevich and Cameron Mercer at 3:30. It was 1-0 for Kitchener. But just 22 seconds later, Panofimus would tie it for the Otters. His third from Sam Alfano and Dylan Edwards at 3:52. It was 1-1, and that's how the second period would come to an end. In the third, the Rangers would once again grab the lead. Matt Sopp's third of the playoffs from Luke Ellenis and Cameron Reed at 7:12. It was 2-1 Kitchener. But just 2 minutes and 44 seconds after that, Dylan Edwards with his fifth from Matthew Schaefer and Panofimus, 9:56 of the third, and once again, we had a tie hockey match. So as I said a moment ago, two leads for the Kitchener Rangers, a combined length of time, 3 minutes and 6 seconds. We went to overtime, where the Rangers had a glorious chance early, unable to capitalize. The Otters iced the puck, and instead of not being able to make the line change, they take their time out. Rangers couldn't earn the opportunity there to get the win. Little later on in overtime, the Rangers ice the puck. They use their timeout to get a line change and the right defensive players out there. And the Otters can't score. And then, off a goal mouth scramble, it's the guy who the head coach called the other day the Big Red Sluice back in the Rangers lineup. I don't know where the nickname comes from or what it means, but that's what UC Ahokas told us during our Harris Law pregame show yesterday. The Big Red Sluice back, and it was the Big Red Sluice, Trent Swick, with his first of the playoffs from Philip Machar and Carson Rakoff at 12:02 of overtime. The Rangers win it 3-2. Kitchener outshoots the Otters 50-33. 7,160 here to take it in at the Memorial Auditorium. Rangers now lead the series 3-2. Your post-game show for You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers win it in dramatic fashion. Overtime, Trent Swick, 3-2 Kitchener, 3-2 in the series. Let's get you downstairs to Paul Fixter and UC Ahokas.
Thanks, Mike. I'm at ice level with head coach UC Ahokas. And coach, that must feel pretty good, finally getting that win under the belt.
Oh, yeah. I thought we played our best game. Like, in the series, we had way balanced defense, and our offense was, we were creating plenty of chances. Really happy for Swick. He got the goal. He had 4 or 5 super chances before the score already. And so great he got the winner. And all in all, Ellenis played a great game, but it was a team win. Parson great in the net. But it's only third win. We need one more.
What does Terrence Wick mean to this hockey club, Coach?
Oh, he's a big part of our team. He's our he puts his soul out there and works hard, blocks shots. He goes to the battles and all in all, I think he'll be just getting better and better when the games go on.
Did you sense any? Was there any sense of frustration from your players that they weren't able to get more than they did past Benjamin Gaudreau, who played very well tonight?
Oh, Gaudreau was in God mode today. Like he made some unreal saves, but we believed in our system. It'll come if you just keep going and going. And it was good today. Today was the day, and I didn't see the frustration. We were focused, and we just kept going.
Is there any kind of special message that you relay to a team as you embark on the overtime period?
Well, of course, it's game time. But, hey, this is why we play hockey. We practice the whole year for this. Great, our home audience, and when we won, like, think about that feeling for the guys to be on the ice, and that's no better feeling. That's why you play hockey, for this kind of moments.
I'm sure the team is really happy for the Big Red Sleuth tonight.
Yeah, the whole team's really happy, but we need one more. We need one more win.
Thanks, Coach. Great game tonight, and we'll see you in the area on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. You heard the laugh right there, and it was heartier than the one he gave during the pregame show the other night. You couldn't hear that laugh because as I was interviewing UC Ahokas, and he dropped the nickname Big Red Sluice about Trent Swick, he got a big grin on his face and his knees buckled. He was ready to laugh so hard, but he kept his composure during our interview. He let out the laugh here, and understandably so, after a Ranger 3-2 victory in overtime to take a 3-2 series lead over the Erie Otters. Post-game coverage continues. It's brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to Kitchener Rangers Playoff Hockey on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium following a thrilling 3-2 overtime win for the Kitchener Rangers. I wonder who Paul Fixter has rinkside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm pleased to be joined by tonight's goal-scoring hero, Trent Swick, the Big Red Sluice, as the coach referred to you the other day. Have you ever had a bigger goal in your life, Trent?
No, I haven't, no.
Take us through the goal and what transpired, what happened. It was created by Rakoff getting in and, you know, stripping the puck, and then what?
Yeah, it was just hard work, getting pucks to the net. It was honestly a lucky goal, but I think I deserve it after all the empty nets that I've missed in the past two games. So, yeah, it's the biggest goal of my career and, yeah, the best moment of my life.
How big did your eyes get when you saw that puck laying loosely in the blue paint?
Honestly, not that big. I was so tired. Like, I didn't even know. I thought it was just like a glove maybe. I was seeing double out there. I was so tired. But, yeah, I was obviously drooling over the puck, and I'm just happy that it finally went in.
You're one of the freshest bodies in that you didn't play the first three games. So if you're that tired, how do your teammates feel after a game like that and having played back-to-back games?
Yeah, we're a very I can't even think of the word. We bag skate a lot, so we're a very fit team. Sorry. We're a very fit team. And yeah, we live for this. We've been training our whole lives for this, and yeah, I just wasn't in game shape, so I think I was more tired than them.
Sorry, Trent. What was the message to the team as you went into the overtime period?
Just keep playing the game that we played. We were up like 40 to 25 shots going into the overtime, and we've dominated the whole game. Gaudreau kept them in it. And, yeah, just keep playing the way that we've been playing, get pucks to the net, and the overtime goal is going to be a dirty goal, so, yeah.
Last question for you, Trent. Was there any sense of frustration by you or your teammates in that Gaudreau was playing so well and you were maybe afraid that you weren't able to get a puck behind him?
No, we knew it was going to squeak by. Like, it had to come. So, but, yeah, he played great, and hopefully he doesn't play like that anymore.
What time is practice tomorrow?
Day off.
I'm just joking with you. Congratulations on a great game. Well done. Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Trent Swick, the overtime hero. As Kitchener wins its second overtime game of this series, its third game overall, and the Rangers are one win from advancing. They will have to wait, however, until Tuesday night. That's when Game 6 in this series will happen back at the Erie Insurance Arena. Here in Kitchener, the Rangers win 3-2 in game number 5 and take that 3-2 series lead. Post-game coverage is brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where it's gone awfully quiet. And I guess that's what happens when you try to blow the lid off the place and then the fans head home to celebrate their Friday nights in whichever way they want to celebrate their Friday nights. But they certainly leave in a good mood after Trent Swick's overtime heroics and the Rangers' victory over the Erie Otters here in game number 5. Let's take a look at your three stars from this game. Your three stars are a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Third star of this game, making 31 saves in the Ranger goal, Jackson Parsons gets the nod as the third star. The overtime hero with his first of the postseason, Trent Swick, scoring the game-winning goal. He is named star number 2. And Benjamin Gaudreau, was there any doubt anywhere in this building? Rangers head coach Jussi Ahokas just said a moment ago that Gaudreau was in God mode, whatever that means, but I guess it means that Gaudreau played pretty darn well. He turned aside 47 of 50 Rangers shots tonight, and Gaudreau is star number 1. So your three stars go Gaudreau, Swick, and Parsons. Three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. We'll take a final break, come back to wrap, and then get to your phone calls on the post-game show. For USave Flooring, this is City News 570.
Who blew a call? Who left it all out on the ice? Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter. Break it down on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
All right, some final thoughts from Paul and I, and then right to the phones. Paul, it's already getting late into the night, so I'm sure the fans are ready to make their calls. We're putting in some overtime tonight, and we'll get to Rangers Talk and take those calls in just a moment. It's hard to put into perspective. I mean, what a game we saw here tonight. Got a little sloppy at times, but it's a couple of tired teams. Now we have this massive gulf in the series because of that ding-dang eclipse on Monday. We can talk more about that during Rangers Talk. But that aside, it's now a 3-2 lead for the Kitchener Rangers. They put themselves in position to be one game from advancing.
What a hockey game, Mike. I don't know where to begin and where to end. But, I give Kitchener credit for staying to the course. And that's why I asked what the message was between the end of the game and the overtime. And as Trent Swick said, the message was just stay the course, continue to play our game, and we'll find a way to get another one past Gaudreau, who was absolutely outstanding tonight.
There is so much to talk about from this particular game, and Paul and I always have lots to say, but maybe you saw something that you would like to bring to the conversation and get us started on Rangers Talk. It's up to you. Let's take a final break and then open the phones at 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. The Rangers 3, the Otters 2, the series 3-2 in favor of the Kitchener Rangers, and your phone calls coming up on Rangers Talk. This is post-game coverage for USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
Hey!
overtime. Rangers defeat the Erie Otters and now take a 3-2 series lead, headed back to Erie for game number six on Tuesday. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Kevin, you're going to start us off on Rangers talk. Good evening.
Hey, what a great game, Mike. We enjoyed it. My wife is a diehard Ranger fan, so we went to the game tonight. We had the time of our lives. It was absolutely amazing. Her heartbeat, she's got one of those app phones, so she's keeping track of her heartbeat, went up to 113. So it was it was a lot of fun. But just want to say one quick thing. Rykov, I mean, I don't want to be negative. I just was curious. I didn't really see much of him on the ice there tonight. I wasn't sure if he's healthy or is it just one of those nights.
Well, I'll leave that to you, Paul Fixter, because you mentioned after the goal was scored that it would not have happened in overtime, the game winner, without Carson Rakoff's effort.
Well, and he had the other glorious opportunity where, Gaudreau made the tremendous save, and then it went up and hit the crossbar. So he was pretty, he was fairly effective tonight. He was around the puck, and he did create the turnover. He's on the game-winning goal. He got a shot off. Machar got a shot off. And then the puck was laying in the crease, and Trent Swick was able to bang it in. But Carson Rakoff is a player that we expect to, be a big part of this hockey club each and every night.
I guess, Paul, what we're hearing there from Kevin, who apparently has heard enough of that analysis, but when you score 52 in the regular season, the fans expect you to score each and every time you're on the ice.
Yeah, true enough. And what is it? Pressure is a privilege, so that's putting a lot of pressure on a young boy.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. Sean is with us on Rangers Talk. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Great, thank you.
All right, well, that was just a quintessential playoff game, and there's no other way to describe it. It was tight. It was tense. It was back and forth. I mean, the Rangers held the lead for, what, less than 90 seconds total, even though they had two leads. And just the way that it finished with, the greasy goal at the end, there was no other way that game was going to end, as Swick kind of put in his post-game interview. So what a great game, and just wanted to say that my boy Benny is 5-0 now at Rangers games, so we need to get some season tickets next year.
What time are you getting into Erie on Tuesday?
Sean, with a record like that, I think we should find a way to gift you and Benny tickets so you always come to the games.
That's right. I think I'll just double check my passport and see what we're doing. When is it, Tuesday? Is that when the game is?
That's the next game. You got it.
Oh, boy. All right, we got time to prepare. I'll have to get a pink pass from my wife, though. I don't know how that's going to fly.
Well, best of luck with that, and I'm glad you and Benny enjoyed the game tonight.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Sean. Nice to hear from you. I have the math done. I stand to be corrected, but at 3 minutes and 6 seconds of time that the Rangers led the game, but to Sean's point about the overtime winner, and Trent Swick mentioned it too, it was going to be a greasy one. That's what you have to do. As simple as that.
I liked what Trent said when I asked him how big did your eyes get when you saw the puck laying in the crease. And he said, actually, I was so tired, I wasn't sure if it was the puck or a glove or what it was. I was just poking away at it.
I'm thinking about this now, Paul, and I'm sorry to jump in there, but we talked about, because we were able to see on the replay, Brett Brissett was in the crease for Erie, and you could tell he wants to cover that puck up because that's your instinct. He doesn't, because if he had, I don't know if it's an automatic goal or a penalty shot would have resulted.
Penalty shot, yeah.
But Sean Reed was right behind that net, and he was pointing emphatically. I couldn't see the puck. I was watching the referee because it was a mad scramble. And I just want to acknowledge, because I know they get such a rough ride at times, Sean Reed and Tyson Stewart, look, there were some calls that could have been made for sure, but were they difference makers? No. These guys, and let's just call the whole crew out with Kevin MacArthur and Andre Grugru working the lines, this crew called a hell of a game tonight.
Great game. Sean Reed is a tremendous referee, has been for a long time, and
that crew follows his lead. He was the senior statesman on that crew. And what we liked, Mike, early on, we saw him communicating with both benches, whatever they were discussing. Here's the standard for tonight's game or whatever. And it was a well-officiated game. You never want the officials to become part of the game, and they didn't tonight. They just officiated the game and did a wonderful job in doing it. Were there some calls that were missed? Of course, both sides. But that was the standard, and it was set early. And really, Erie, that's why when you had asked me about in the pregame about power play goals, I really believed Erie was going to play a disciplined game because of the emphasis that Stan made in that regard to me. And Kitchener has played disciplined hockey, so it was a really good, well-played, disciplined game.
The only penalty the Erie Otters took was for delay of game, shooting the puck over the glass. It's the automatic call. So you're right, they did play a very disciplined game. They played a very relentless game, coming back to tie 22 seconds after the Rangers opened the scoring, and then 2 minutes and 44 seconds after the Rangers took a 2-1 lead in the third period. So they were relentless, but the Rangers got the overtime winner from Trent Swick for a 3-2 win and a 3-2 series lead. Let's go back to the phones. Damien, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello.
Hello, Damien.
Hi. Today was a really good game. I have to say, Trent saved us. But a lot of fights, a lot of puck overs, and yeah.
Were the fights in the stands? Because they were not on the ice.
Yeah, they were.
All right, Damien, appreciate the call tonight. There was physicality to this game, Paul, for sure. We almost had a playoff fight the other night in Erie, but I love the way you described that. Nathan Sauter and Luke Ellenis were going to go, and they were going to put on a bit of a show, but they were backing away from one another inside the blue line. And you said, well, guys, if you want to fight, you have to go towards each other, because then the line he's got in and made sure it stopped before it could start.
Yeah, and that wouldn't have been a good trade-off for us, losing Ellenis versus their player, Sauter. To Damien's point there, Mike, yes, it was a very physical game at times. That's what you expect in playoff hockey. And as we just talked about, the referees allowed it to be a physical game, and there were some scrums afterwards, but nothing crazy.
All right, let's stay with the phones. Cody, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Farwell Fixture, what's up, guys?
We're good, Code. Thank you.
My God, what can I say? Game 6. Oh, man. Trent Swick blew the roof off the auditorium.
Well, let's not get too carried away yet. This was only Game 5, but now the Rangers have a chance to win it in Game 6.
Yeah, I'm confident that they'll finish off this series in 6, because I did say Rangers in 6 for the series.
Attaboy. There you go. Mm-hmm.
So did my partner, Mike Farwell.
I did say that. I did.
Mm-hmm. Good choice, Farwell. That was a good choice right there.
Well, listen, this Erie team, I just called them relentless a moment ago, resilient. It's not going to be easy, that is for sure. But I would love to have this team, the Rangers, get an extra night off before having to open series number 2. So let's see what they can do next Tuesday night.
Yeah, and you are right. Erie is relentless, but hey, gotta give the Rangers credit tonight.
All right, Cody, appreciate the call. You really do. I guess, Paul, if we're going to call the Otters relentless and resilient, you have to call the Rangers the same, because I felt as though coming into this one, it's all the pressure, almost all of the pressure on the Kitchener Rangers, isn't it? They were the higher seed. They're the home team. Take your pick. And they continued to keep their foot on the pedal even when Erie would come back and tie the game.
Well, and I think even taking it back a little bit further, Mike, they set the bar so high in the first half of the season that the expectations became something that really wasn't talked about in the off season. So there's all that added pressure, no question, because of, you know, their play to this point. And as the higher seed, the pressure always is on you because you're the higher seed.
Absolutely.
Full house here tonight, almost 7,200. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, but I like that. Pressure is a privilege. Pressure is also a lot of fun to play in these type of games.
It certainly is. Let's squeeze in one more before the break. Will, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hi. I'm 11. I've been a Rangers fan for about, like, 7 or 6 years now. And I thought the game was pretty good. It was back and forth. I don't like the way that Erie's taunted our fans, but, you guys do a really good job at broadcasting, too.
Wow, now, Will, you just became my favorite caller ever. Thanks for that.
No problem.
You had some fun at the odd tonight, did you?
Yeah, I did. Pretty good game.
What'd you like best about the game tonight, other than the score?
I think it was pretty energetic in the stadium, and I liked the OT winner.
Did you scream? Like, how loud did you get, Will, when that puck went in the net? What happened?
Well, I was very overwhelmed, and when the puck went in the net, I honestly wasn't sure if it would count or not, but I screamed as loud as I could and high-fived my dad.
You awesome. Are a beauty. Do you play hockey yourself?
No, I actually play baseball, but I am a hockey fan.
Nice. So you're getting ready for another baseball season?
Yep.
Attaboy. Well, listen, well, it's great to hear from you on Rangers Talk. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, anybody wants to call up and tell me I do a good job, I'm here to listen to it all night.
That was a great call. 11 years old and a fan for 6 or 7 years. That's good.
It takes me back, Fixie.
Hey.
Remember those days? I used to come with my dad and high-five him, too.
The arena didn't look like this when I was coming at that age.
No
but,
kidding.
But it's still a great place to watch a hockey game.
Real quick note, just because Will reminded me as a baseball player, Challenger Baseball, which is into, and now it's coming up on its third season in our community, just a terrific initiative through Kitchener Minor Baseball, where every child, regardless of ability, physical or otherwise, is able to play thanks to Challenger Baseball. They're having a try it day tomorrow at the Kitchener Minor Baseball offices on Lawrence Ave in Preston. I'm going to be there for that to enjoy just a great atmosphere. And if you ever thought of your kid playing baseball like Will's playing baseball, check out maybe Challenger Baseball if the other games that have been played for all these years are not exactly for your kid. We are, of course, talking hockey following a big Ranger victory here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. 3-2 in overtime. Trent Swick, the OT hero. The Rangers a 3-2 series lead, and Rangers talk continues right after this. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. This is City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, two out of the last three games in this series between the Kitchener Rangers and Erie Otters have gone to overtime, and on both occasions, the Kitchener Rangers emerge as the victors. It was 4-3 on Tuesday night. Justin Botineau's second goal of the game gave the Rangers the victory in a 2-1 series lead. Tonight, a 3-2 final on a goal from Trent Swick, and now the Rangers lead the series 3-2 over Erie. Paul Fixter and I were telling you during the game in Erie last night that on Tuesday, in that overtime, our bus driver and good friend Moose, Mikey Reeves, couldn't handle the pressure in the arena, so he left and went to the bus to listen on the radio in Erie, and then came charging off that bus when the Rangers scored the winner. This guy loves this hockey team, and Moosey is on the line with us tonight. Mikey, I know you were here. Did you stay in the building for overtime tonight?
Mr. Farwell. And Mr. Fixter, no, I didn't. As you usually, when I'm at the game, I'm there till the second period ends, and then my knee gives out.
Ah, okay.
So, but I was in the car and had a coffee on the way home, and I'm home, and I heard the overtime when I got here.
What'd you think of the game, Moose?
Well, what I saw, incredible game, incredible game. That kid in goal, Goudreau, my God, can he?
Oh,
play?
He was something, eh? Yep.
Can he play? No. I love those kids. You know that. And I'd love to be watching all the time, but we'll be there Tuesday to watch them.
Are you ready for another trip down to Erie, PA, my friend?
Oh, yeah. We're going to drive down in the dark. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're the day of the eclipse on Monday, and we got a game set, game six for Tuesday night in Erie. And, you know, Mike, you've been with this team a long time. What does it mean to you to be a part of this Kitchener Rangers club?
Well, as you know, again, as coming up on my, you know, the swan song, the last number of games, how many there are, and hopefully there's going to be a lot more yet. I'll miss them. I know it's all you guys. It's like a big family. That's all they are, family to me.
You know, you say how much they mean to you, Mike. The feeling is mutual. I sit back about four seats back from where you drive, and as they exit the bus, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Moose. Appreciate it, Moose. Thanks for keeping us safe. All those nice comments that they make. You're as appreciated. You are as much appreciated to them as they are to you.
Well, you know, thanks, Paul. I've never had, well, obviously, there's never been a kid on that team that's been a difficult case. Every one of them, you know, salt of the earth, great kids. I love all of them.
Well, Moosey, it's great to hear from you on the post game, and I can't wait to see your smiling face next week when we head back to Erie.
We'll see you and Mr. Fixter on Tuesday. Oh, pardon me, no, Monday. Monday. We'll see you Monday at 1. I don't know what time. to be determined, I guess. So we'll see you guys on Monday, and keep up that good work. You guys call a great game.
Thanks, Moose. Enjoy the rest of your night, buddy. Good to hear from you.
That's two great game comments
tonight.
That's
true. Will said that earlier, and I mean, Moose might be a little bit biased, but I just want to add a few things real quick. First of all, when we got off that bus this morning, it was about 2:30, and Mikey was sitting there on this cart that gets used to lug all the equipment from the bus bay back to the dressing room, one of several carts. And Paul, he looked like his best friend had passed, or he lost his dog. Because he lives and dies with this hockey club, and I felt so bad for him. And now tonight he gets to enjoy the thrill of victory as opposed to the agony of defeat.
Well, and he takes care of us. You know, that first part of the trip last night wasn't easy. There was a lot of snow and wet rain and just whatever. And then we get to the border, and when he saw those two or three buses in front of us, I could hear him say, oh, God, you know, like it's going to extend the trip. So as much as he gets tied up with the game, he worries about the passengers that are on the bus as well. And that's you, me, and all the players.
And Moose earned his nickname one night many years ago. It was a dark and stormy night somewhere between North Bay and Sudbury. And there were at least six, could have been eight moose on the road. And Mikey slalomed through all of them. Okay, there were two. But he did. And that's how he earned the nickname. I won't get into all of the detail of the story from my perspective as a passenger that night. But that's how he got the nickname Moose. And he earned it dodging the moose on the highway between North Bay and Sudbury. And we're sure going to miss him when he hangs it up at the end of 7 years with this club.
No question. He does a great job.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Jersey Bill, you're on Rangers Talk.
Yeah, hey, I know something about traveling today. I started the day in Talmadge, Ohio, and I'm back in Kitchener now.
Welcome home.
I actually stopped at Erie, you know, and it looked around. I've never actually stopped at the town before, but, you know, it's a nice little middle-class American town there. But one thing strikes me, you know, of course, I'm tired out from just traveling in my car. I can imagine what it's like to drive a bus, but I sort of think that, boy, that's so much extra pressure for those players and the coaches from Erie, whose every away game is pretty much a long haul on a bus, because I don't think they fly anywhere to Ottawa or to St. Marie. So, yeah, hats off to them, because they certainly put an awful lot of miles on during the course of the season.
You know what, Billy, it's a really good point, and I appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you tonight. It reminds me, I'll take it back to Game 68, Paul, and we made reference to that during this game tonight. It was Martin Mishiak who scored the game-winning goal for Erie in the final game of the regular season. That assured, well, almost assured a playoff series. We still had to wait for the result of the Guelph game the next day. But had the Otters lost that game, they would have faced the Sioux in round number one. And that's about a nine and a half hour trip for them. And Billy's right. Not many teams fly. We've done it on occasion, not for quite some time. And I remember actually way back, Craig Hartsburg, the former coach up in Sault Ste. Marie, told me, and he was a player up there too, they used to fly every trip. Every trip when he was in the Sioux.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, one of the early, when we played Erie early in the season, doing my Across the Hall segment with Stan, he talked about the travel of the Erie Otters, how it, you know, wears and tears on their team, and they have the border crossings, and it's not easy. It makes it a little bit more difficult for them, no question about it. And when we talked about the playoffs, I asked him, you know, which opponent would he like to face, and he says to me, Paul, I'm 68 years of age. A little over 3 hours or 10 hours, who do you think I want to face? So, no, it's not easy, and credit to their equipment staff and all the people behind the scenes that do a tremendous job as well.
The Erie Otters have one of the best owners, in my humble opinion, and there are a good number in this league. There are some bad ones, too, but Jim Waters is the owner of the Erie Otters. Now, I'm a little bit biased. Jim is an old radio guy, but he takes real good care. He treats the hockey team like a going concern. He cares about the business, and more times than not, the team is in the day before when they're traveling, the Erie Otters are. It's not inexpensive to do it that way, but I think Jim Waters is doing it the right
way. Yeah, they're doing it the right way. They've changed the culture. They have a great culture there. They've got good players, obviously, and things are going pretty well for the Erie Otters. They have great management. Dave Brown's been in this league forever.
Yeah.
He works hard. He he's in the rinks. He's scouting. He's got good staff behind him. They're a solid, solid franchise for this league.
Stan Butler, more than 800 wins as the head coach. Dave Brown, as you mentioned, has been around this league for a long time. He's the general manager, the owner, Jim Waters, and it goes on from there. 3-2, the Rangers win in overtime tonight. To remind you of where this series is at, the Rangers up 3-2. And back to the phones, Kyle, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Paul. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are, thank you.
There's a couple guys on this team I wanted to talk about. Luca Romano, Madan Andonovsky, and also like the coaches poll. I'm not sure if you guys have seen the results of the coaches poll. You know, we got a nice little dirty goal by Matt. When I say dirty, I mean dirty stick handling. Posted in that goal by Matt Saul. How do you guys feel? And maybe Paul Fixer is a past coach. You know, guy behind the bench. I used to work for the Rangers when you worked there. Somebody like Andonovsky and Romano, very polarizing, very different players, but also doing very, very, very good things for the team to succeed. Like, how do you guys kind of break down their game?
Well, in regard to Romano and Andonovsky, I mean, they are. Andonovsky's a stud in this league. He really is. In the coaches poll, he led a couple of categories. I forget exactly, but his penalty killing ability, his physicality, his presence on the ice, he does so many things. His plus minus this year, I believe, was plus 58, somewhere in that area. He led the team. He's just a heck of a player. He's a really good prospect for the Ottawa Senators, no question about it. Luca Romano, from the trade deadline on, it was almost like after the trade deadline happened, he just felt a sigh of relief, and his game has just evolved since then. He's scored some beautiful goals. He is a kid that gets knocked around a little bit because he's a little bit slight at this point, being only 16 years of age, and bounces up like nothing's happened to him. I love watching this kid play. It's like his confidence has gone off the charts since that trade deadline, quite honestly. He's got some real good hands. He's a real skilled player, and his vision for the game is phenomenal.
Oh, and I agree. Tanner Lamb's another guy that I love watching, too. I love to see him get a goal tonight, too. Luke Ellenis as well. I think the future is bright.
Well, no question about it. And Luke Ellenis is a player that Mike and I have talked about a lot this year, and there are a heck of a lot of scouts in this building tonight, including some right in our box here, picking our brains about some players. And Luke Ellenis is going to have his name announced at some point this year during the NHL draft, and very deservedly so. Tanner Lamb is a special player. I really liked where he scored from tonight. It was in the Trent Swick area where he put that puck in. This is a kid that's going to be fun to watch in this league for a few years.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Go Rangers. Go in game six.
Thanks, Kyle. Good to hear from you tonight. I'll just throw in my 2 cents quickly on Romano and Andonovsky. You said the exact word that came to my mind when it comes to Andonovsky, Paul. He's a flat-out stud in this league. And my favorite part of the Andonovsky story is watching his development in this league to the point where he was drafted fourth round by Ottawa, right? Was it fourth or fifth? Fifth round. But when he started in this league, he worked his way up the ranks. He was a healthy scratch, then a bottom pairing guy, and he just became more dependable, more reliable. His draft year, you could see the trajectory, absolutely earned his call by the Ottawa Senators, and has continued to demonstrate that he wants to earn even more the contract and maybe even the opportunity to play in the National League. I've really enjoyed that, and he is every bit a stud in this league.
Repeat your Sue story, because you've said it before, but it's worth repeating, and it really typifies what you just said.
Yeah, and so back in, I guess it was his rookie season, we're up in the Sue, and practice was over, and a few of the guys were still out there, and Ando kind of popped off the bench or off the dasherboard and did a little circle out towards the center ice faceoff. And I said, is that your three-star victory lap? And he says, no, that's my healthy scratch lap. So he knew where he was in the pecking order with that team in his rookie year. But he knows where he is in the pecking order now, too. He's a top-pairing defenseman with Hunter Brustevich, and he's earned every bit of it. And Luca Romano is another great story. We talked about it during the broadcast last night, watching him pick up the points that he did, 3 assists in that come-from-behind overtime win on Tuesday. And the chance we got to talk to him after the game at the arena when he's still kind of basking in that big performance, it's almost like a coming out party, which you're right, Paul. We've seen him emerge through this second half. And as Kyle said, the future looks bright. Lamb and Cameron Reed on the back end and Luke Ellenis and Luca Romano. But watching them now do this in just their first year in the league. And I had a great chance before the game. There were so many scouts in this building. And I don't know what the advanced statistics would look like on Luca Romano. But some of the things I was learning in looking at the computer with all of this data that the scouts carry with them, ice time in the first half compared to the second half, five on five points versus, they have everything broken down into different segments. I would love to know what those segments look like for Luca Romano.
And to make no mistake, they're already looking at his
sure.
His draft year is next season.
Yeah.
And they're looking at him already projecting what he can be. I think one of the things that I've really enjoyed getting to know him a little bit better, Mike, he's really come out of his shell. He used to be more kind of like a shy, quiet player when he'd get on the bus and not say much. Now you can have good conversations with him. We had a great conversation, as you mentioned, in Erie the other night. But he's really been a nice surprise in the second half here. His abilities are really shining now, and he's having a lot of fun playing with the players that he's playing with now.
And just a quick note on the coaches poll. I'm older and much more jaded than Paul Fixter, so I'm cynical on the. I don't even know if they actually ask coaches to participate in that poll, but I don't put a whole lot of stock. I don't know why the league still does it, quite frankly.
Yeah, there's too many categories for one.
Yeah.
And you asked me this week when we were away, and I don't recall. Maybe Spotter didn't put it on my desk to do it because he knew I would just rip it up. I can't recall, but I don't put much into that.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Nolan, you are on Rangers Talk. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Nolan.
Hi. I think the Rangers played pretty well tonight. There was just like one or two times that the Rangers got the puck stuck in their end and they were playing a little sloppy, but I think the Rangers played pretty well.
All right, Nolan, appreciate that analysis. Thanks very much for the call. You know, it's a pretty good point, Paul. This game was, like we talked about it, maybe in the third period a little bit, starting to see some of the sloppiness enter because players were getting tired. But this was one of those games that really didn't have a ton of mistakes, rather carefully played, and you saw some of those swings of momentum where one team had possession, the other team had possession, etc.
Yeah, and because of the fatigue factor, to Nolan's point, that's when, some of those mistakes do happen and you get hemmed in your zone. But by and large, a well-played hockey game. And, there were no glaring mistakes that led to goals.
Yeah. All right. Let's squeeze in one more before the break. Noah, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Paul. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very well, thanks.
I just think that last shift on the leading to the Swick goal was just an amazing shift. Even after Rakoff got denied of that, would have been a gorgeous goal. He followed up the play, created another turnover, centered it for Machar, who had a beautiful opportunity, but then he followed up his rebound and actually threw it off of Ben Godreau, which led to the puck bouncing into the crease and Swick just banging it home.
Noah, you sound like you've got a future as either a play-by-play guy or a color commentator. You've described that very well.
Yeah, I look up to you guys.
That's three tonight, Mike.
Noah, that's terrific. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. Thanks. Here's the thing. That is really well described. You know, it could have been a beauty from Rakoff, set up Machar, whatever. Paul, I've reached the point in my hockey viewing life that I will take a goal like the one Trent Swick scored in overtime tonight as many times as I'll take a laser from Razor, Carson Rakoff.
Oh, yeah, and well, a goal's a goal, right? It's how many.
Sure.
But what I really like in Noah's assessment of that is what Rakoff did to make it all happen, just around the circle to the right of Godreau, stripped, and I can't remember who it was. Where he was able to create the turnover, gets an opportunity. Machar gets the opportunity, and then to Noah's point, they went to the net.
Yes, it's just like right then it's just mayhem.
Yeah,
like the puck is there. We're going where the puck is, and eventually it goes in.
When you turn away from the net, you have no opportunity to score. When you turn and go towards the net, you might pay a price, but you also have a chance to score a goal, and that's what happened tonight. And that probably was one of the only ways they were going to get it past Godreau tonight, because he was exceptional. He was square to the puck. His movements were very, just perfect. Like his ankle obviously didn't bother him. He was going left to right, right to left. So he was very good in the net, but the guy, the other one, was pretty good too. Jackson Parsons came to play and made some big saves when they needed to be.
We saw ourselves a dandy hockey match here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. The Rangers win it 3-2 in overtime. They take a 3-2 series lead. Game 6 back in Erie next Tuesday night, and we continue with Rangers talk. For You Save Flooring, price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Trent Swick, the overtime hero, his first of the playoffs in just his second game. The guy they call, for reasons we are yet to discover, the big red sluice, gets the victory goal for the Kitchener Rangers tonight. And the Rangers have a 3-2 series lead. 519-570-2545, star 570, 1-800-570-5715. Joe, you are on Rangers Talk.
Holy crap, boys. Do you know how hard it is to listen to the whole game on a little tiny smart speaker in the middle of BF nowhere, you know? It's tough.
Well, Joe, you got lots of money. Why don't you buy a bigger smart speaker or something?
Oh, my God. Farewell. Come on. Don't talk like that in front of my kids. They're going to get the wrong idea.
If the truth hurts, Joseph, don't come to me then, because I will always speak the truth. You got lots of money. Go get a bigger smart speaker. That's all I got to say. Yeah.
You're encouraging the young masses here, and that's not like you. But, you know,
sorry,
you have been moving more to the center since I've met you.
Far more to the center. Okay.
Anyway, hockey question. Bixie, how you doing, buddy? Good to hear from you, buddy.
I'm doing well. Thanks, Joe.
Stuck in a hotel with Farwell for, like, days on end, but...
He's a great roommate. He's a great roommate. I wish I would have had roommates like him when I was in university.
Anyway, hockey question. Listen, every time those guys score, we score a goal, they come back. These guys are highly motivated. And, Pixie, you alluded to it before. Their coach has got these guys working like 9-0. So, what do we need to be worried, or Do we have the edge?
All right, Joe, good question. Appreciate the call. You know what, Paul? I'll take it back to regular season, last 6 weeks or so. Gaudreau out because he left January 12th, I believe, in and around there. But anyway, he was out, but the Otters started playing better. And I remember saying, this is on record, you can find it for sure, I promise you, but if I was one of the top four teams, the team I would like to avoid is the Erie Otters. Well, they climbed all the way to fifth. It's the team the Rangers are facing. And, yeah, they're giving Kitchener everything they can handle.
They are. I think to answer Joe's question, I think the concern for the Rangers is that top line of Edwards, Femus, and Alfano. They're you know, they're on the board again tonight. They're a heck of a line. Terrance is playing well. We know what Schaefer can do. Do we need to be scared, afraid, or whatever the word was? No, but we have to be aware. No question about it. I think Gaudreau is a heck of a goalie. He's a heck of a prospect for the San Jose Sharks, and he was able to, come back. And it doesn't, that injury that he sustained doesn't seem to be affecting his play at all. But to Joe's question, I don't think we need to be afraid of everything. We're in control of the series, and we've been in control of a lot of the games. The fact that we get up a goal or two and they come back, that just credit to Erie for not quitting and believing in what their coach is preaching.
Is there any sense for the Erie Otters, Paul, that they just played a pretty darn fine road game and couldn't get the win? Like, how deflating, if at all, is it?
Well, it's more than 15 minutes worth, as the Rangers like to preach.
Sure.
For me, it would be. That's a long bus ride back to Erie, I would think, for them. It's deflating, Mike. They had a chance to win a hockey game here tonight, no question about it, having come off a good victory for them last night. It's deflating. But you have to, if you want to win the series, you know, you have to pick yourself up and not worry about it. And I know Stan very well, and he won't let them feel sorry for themselves come practice on Sunday.
This is something else we got a chance to talk about during the broadcast, and let's just expand on it a moment here, and we'll get right back to the phones. But the game that was originally scheduled for Monday had to be Monday because the Erie Insurance Arena is full this weekend with a cheerleading competition. Dear Erie, think in the future that your team might make the playoffs and maybe leave some arena openings in and around this time of year. But so it's going to be Monday. Then it's the eclipse. And it's not that anybody's worried about players looking at the sun or anybody else looking at the sun during the eclipse. It's because the town of Erie is expecting to double or triple in size population-wise because so many people are going there because Erie, Pennsylvania is in the path of totality. So it's going to be mayhem in the city. So they've bumped the game back one more day just so fans can make it to the game. And oh yeah, by the way, the Erie Seawolves, sharing the same complex as the hockey team, are going to have their home opener that night. So it's still going to be a little chaotic. But my point in bringing all of this up and explaining the length of time between tonight's Game 5 and that Game 6, that's got to benefit Erie, Paul. They'll get a chance to recover and reset.
Yes, yes. And it takes away the momentum from tonight's victory. If we were to play Sunday, let's say, you know, Kitchener, it's a lot more fresh in their mind,
right?
No question about it. I think in that regard it does. But the schedule is what it is. The one thing that is tough with pushing those games out, okay, we get away from all that traffic and look, you know, the eclipse and whatever, but it brings the next series that much closer.
You betcha. You want to avoid Game 7 at all costs, yeah, just for 24 hours more rest.
It's safe to assume that it's Saturday, right?
The next series, yes.
Yeah, so it's, you're right, Mike.
For either of these teams, going 7, yeah, you're done Wednesday. If you're Erie, you're home essentially Thursday morning, and you're starting on the road on Saturday. They might just stay in southwestern Ontario.
Yeah.
All right, let's get right back to the phones. Busy, busy night here on Rangers Talk. Jeffrey, you're on the air. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Good. I really quickly. I think playing games in the playoffs, when you're playing back to back almost every other night, two games, day in, day out. London already swept Flint So they're going to sit on their bum-bums now for about 8 days, and they're going to have a chance to watch Kitchener play, right? They got nothing to do. Dale Hunter and all those guys can schedule practices, and they're going to end up with Kitchener or Erie either way. But I think playing in the playoffs every other day is what it's all about. Don't let yourself sit down for any more than a couple days and start analyzing how you put the puck off the boards or how you put the puck over the glass, God forbid, stuff like that. No, that's enough of that.
What needs all right, Jeffrey.
Yeah, well, okay, hang on. Is it okay if I, you know, we can have a little bit of a give and take if you want. You like the give and take?
No, we got lots of calls, and I just want to, like, you know, I just want to keep moving along is all.
Yeah, no, I feel that. But I'll wrap it up real quick. I think Wayne Simmonds there a couple of years ago when Toronto got beat by Montreal, and he said, well, we didn't have the killer instinct. I think the killer instinct needs to happen now. So just go in and get it done. No matter what the date is, or no matter how many eclipses there are, just go get it done.
Right. Anyway, Jeffrey, appreciate the call. Yep, you too. The point on, because it's starting to get away from this series when you're talking about London sweeping. But in fairness, it brings up the age-old question, Paul, and you would have tons of experience in this, rest versus rust when you're off for a week while other series is finished. You're going to have a team coming in still in playoff momentum mode. They're playing every other day. They've got the rhythm. You've been sitting around for a while.
I'll take rest all day long over rust.
There you go.
And if there is rust in the game, the team that has been resting, it's only for the first game, first period of the first game, maybe. You know, and these teams, today's methods of practicing and staying sharp and stuff, I don't believe in the rust. And as I've said so many times on this show, the more games you play, the more chance there is for somebody to get injured. And that somebody is usually a key player in your team. I'll take rest over rust all day long.
And we've seen two teams in the past five Memorial Cups, because two Memorial Cups were missed during COVID, have all the rest / rust in the world, losing in the first round, coming back to win because they were hosts in St. John and in Windsor. So I think you're right on that one, Paul. All right, let's get back to the phones following this 3-2 overtime victory for the Kitchener Rangers tonight. Evan, you're on Rangers Talk.
Farwell, Fixter, what's up, guys?
We're good, buddy.
Oh, what can I say? Great game tonight. I mean, didn't think that was going to go over to overtime, but I mean, some of our goal, like it should have been like 4-2 or something like that. But I guess overtime, I'll take it. Got my money's worth out of it.
Absolutely, Evan. Appreciate the call. Everybody got their money's worth tonight. If not for Benjamin Gaudreau, Paul, this game is much different.
Yeah, maybe it is a 4-2 or 5-2 game there, but he was stellar, very deserving of his recognition as first star in my mind. And even though his team lost, it wasn't because of him.
Oh gosh, no. And I'll be honest. I mean, it sounds, you know, in hindsight, but this is the God's honest truth. After one, I thought this game has an overtime feel to it because it's scoreless, right?
Yeah.
And again, it was just a carefully played game. Plenty of excitement and chances, but carefully enough played. It said to me that we are in for a long night here at the hockey rink.
I'm just glad that Swick, the big red sluice, was able to finish it before we went into the fifth overtime. Mike, it just dawned on me as you were talking there. I've been harping on this for quite a while now. Tuesday, we get a chance again to get that back-to-back win that we haven't seen since, I believe it was March 9th. So it's crucial, you know, to Jeffrey's point about ending this thing now. Yes, he's right. Let's end it so we don't have to play that Wednesday game, and let's get that back-to-back win. It's hard to do in the playoffs because the teams are also good, but I think it's very important that we finish this off.
Rangers have won once in Erie. Can they do it again? We'll find out on Tuesday. It's a 3-2 overtime victory for Kitchener here on home ice tonight. The Rangers now lead the series 3-2, and we continue on Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. This is City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Trent Swick, 12:02 into overtime. And the Kitchener Rangers beat the Erie Otters tonight here at the Memorial Auditorium in front of 7,160 fans. 3-2 the final. 3-2 the Rangers lead the series. Game 6 goes back in Erie next Tuesday night. We go right back to the phones and say good evening to Derek. Derek, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, guys. Noticed both goalies that played last night play tonight also. And usually it doesn't happen in the regular season with these guys back-to-back. And just wondering, like maybe Paul can say what might they do different, like not practice, drink more Gatorade, whatever.
Well, in the playoffs, you run with your horse, and with Kitchener Rangers, Jackson Parsons, they established that late in the season when he was playing the majority of the games. In fact, I think the only game Melba got was the he got one down the stretch.
Yeah.
And Ben Gaudreau has been injured all year. He's an NHL drafted player by the San Jose Sharks. He's their horse. They traded for him to help this young hockey club. He's the guy they're going with. The only time you would see, I'm going to say the number two goalie, the backup goalie, whatever you want to call it, in the playoffs, is if a game gets really out of hand or, unfortunately, somebody gets injured. You're going to see these, all the top teams that continue to play on will use their number one goalie.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Derek, appreciate the call. Great question, right to the point, and Paul Fixter has an answer for you. Steven, you are next on Rangers Talk.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
We're good. Running a little short on time, Steven, so
yeah,
what's on your mind?
Yeah, okay, well, obviously that was a heck of a game. I wish I could come up see you, but here last minute my friend called me. I got tickets. Do you want to go? It's like, well, that's a no-brainer, but anyway. Fortunately, I parked basically on the other side of Krug Street, so had to take quite a jog to get there. Anyhow, yeah. You know, good game. Like you said, a bit sloppy at times. But literally back and forth, almost like play, you know, two teams trading, boxer trading punches. But I just thought, Gaudreau was great. I think eventually as the game wore on, the first period, he did see a lot of shots. And the Rangers kind of figured, you know, we have to take away his eyes. That's the only way we're going to beat him, you know, is to get in front of him. So, yeah. And as for, I just found, you know, Piano Femus, he was like Otto Chatterbox. And we were close to the benches, and I just remember Trent Swick looking at him kind of saying, you know, keep it up, and you know what's going to happen. So, yeah. Anyway, definitely, you know, great win. Back and forth. The crowd energy was awesome. Great game. So, anyway, guys, take care. Have a good night. Safe trip up to Erie, Eclipseville. Hope you didn't have to make the trip. But anyway, take care. Have a good night, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate the call. I love when we're short on time and we start with the parking way, you know, how many blocks away it was before we got to the meat and potatoes of the game. Look, Pano Femus can talk all he wants as far as I'm concerned, because the points that he and his line mate Sam Alfano and Dylan Edwards are putting up, they combined for 5 more tonight. They've got 25 through the series so far. The top three of Swick, Sopp, and Elinas for the Rangers combined for 3-1 each. Sopp with a goal, Swick with a goal, Elinas with an assist in this game tonight. So Femus, Alfano, and Edwards continue to really carry the load for Erie.
And Alfano and Trent Swick were teammates on the Southern Tier
you know, midget, what do you call it, U16 team that also included LeBlancs. They must have been a heck of a team back when they were drafted. But I know they're buddies, but there are no buddies when you're in the playoffs. But that line, for, we've talked about this, Mike, that top line for Erie has been stellar. And I think Trent Swick, there's a good example of rest versus rust. He hasn't shown any rust, and he was a guy that has been out, had been out for five games. So I think that's a good example. He's here to play.
You mentioned the LeBlancs. It just made me think of our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. The LeBlanc twins now with North Bay, they knock off Kingston in five games, 5-1 the final tonight. And North Bay did it without Anthony Romani and Dom DeVincentis. Sudbury, a five-game victory over the Mississauga Steelheads, 6-2 the final in that one. So that series is over in five. And how about those pesky little Barrie Colts? They've taken another game from the Oshawa Generals. So Oshawa leads 3-2, but it goes back to Barrie for game six. The Colts with a 3-0 win in the Schwa tonight. So,
wow, that's a big...
It is.
Because I remember when we were up in Barrie and I interviewed Marty Williamson. He wasn't even sure they were going to make the playoffs. They were hovering in that spot right there.
Yep.
And this Oshawa team is a heck of a team.
It is. So we here with Kitchener and Erie are one of three series remaining. That Oshawa-Barrie series will go to a game six, and that's coming up on Sunday night in Barrie. And then Ottawa leads Brantford 3-1, game five in that series tomorrow afternoon in Brantford as the Bulldogs look to stay alive. All right, we went overtime in the game. We've gone late into the night here. We get a few days off, Paul, before we head back down to Erie, PA for game six on Tuesday night.
Can't wait.
You and me both.
Can't wait.
You and me both. All right, 6:35 pregame on Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening in tonight. Wherever you were listening from, we had Melbourne, Australia. We had Mildmay, the beautiful Bruce County part of Ontario, and all over the region of Waterloo as well, as Kitchener wins 3-2 in overtime. They take a 3-2 series lead. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, and our producer, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell, bidding you a very good late Friday night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers, City News 570.